Ever get that feeling like there's got to be more to this, right? Like even the simplest things have hidden depths. Well, that's what today's deep dive is all about, unlocking those depths through the lens of deconstruction.
All right.
Now, before you go picturing like dusty old books and those ivory towers, our source material and online chapter, very accessible, called What is Deconstruction?
Right.
Actually makes it surprisingly approachable. I was kind of surprised how straightforward it was.
It's a common misconception, I find. The deconstruction is about, like, you know, tearing things down, kind of saying, like, there's no meaning. Ha ha, gotcha.
Right, right.
It's actually kind of the opposite.
Okay.
It's more a way to understand how meaning is built in the first place. And then from there, how it can be, you know, deconstructed.
So less about saying it's all meaningless.
Right.
And more like, I don't know, choosing your own adventure, but with meaning itself.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about how those books work, right?
Yeah.
You make choices as you go.
Right.
And those choices determine the path and ultimately the meaning of your adventure through the book.
Well, totally.
Deconstruction helps us see those branching paths of meaning, those possibilities.
Okay.
In any text, really.
Okay.
And it doesn't ruin the experience.
Right.
But it does give you, I think, a new layer of appreciation for the complexity.
It collects, yeah. And it's different from just trying to figure out, like, what did the author mean?
Exactly.
Like, with deconstruction, there's no one correct interpretation. Right?
Exactly. It shifts the focus away from, like, authorial intention and more towards what the text does, what it's doing on its own.
Interesting.
It encourages us to examine the assumptions that we bring to the table.
Oh, I like that.
As readers, viewers, whatever it is.
Right, right.
When we read anything, we bring our own baggage.
And assumptions, like what? Give me an example. How do those assumptions kind of, I don't know.
Well, they're sneaky.
Yeah, they're sneaky. How do they creep in?
They really are, yeah. Well, consider something as basic as binary oppositions.
Okay.
You know, good versus evil, light versus dark. These are like fundamental truths.
Right, yeah, the basics.
The building blocks of so many stories.
Exactly.
But deconstruction comes in and asks, hold on a second. Are these things truly separate and opposite? Or is it our language, the very structure of how we talk about the world, kind of tricks us into thinking that way?
It's like language itself has these ingrained biases almost, making us see the world a certain way without even realizing it.
Precisely. And often, one side of a binary is subtly positioned as superior.
Ooh, I see that. Yeah.
Right. Like mind over body, for example.
Classic example. Yeah.
Right. Mind is good. Body is, you know, suspicious. Deconstruction shines a light on those hidden power dynamics, right? It asks, why is one side favored? What are the implications of that hierarchy that's being set up?
This is already making me rethink how I approach, well, everything. But before we go too far, the chapter mentions something called structuralism.
Right.
And I'm not sure if everyone's familiar.
Yeah, that's fair.
What's that all about?
So think of structuralism as kind of laying the groundwork.
Okay.
It argued that meaning comes from the structure of things.
Okay.
Like the grammar of a sentence or the conventions of a certain genre, right? Deconstruction comes along and says, hold on, even those structures aren't neutral.
Oh, interesting.
Right. They're influenced by cultural norms, historical context, power dynamics, all of that messy stuff.
So it's like structuralism gave us the toolbox.
Right.
And deconstruction is showing us how those tools themselves can be examined.
Exactly. It pushes the boundaries of literary analysis.
Right.
Makes us think in entirely new ways.
Right, right.
And speaking of challenging expectations,
the chapter actually goes into this really fascinating example of deconstruction in action. Using this short story, The Glass Mountain. It's by Donald Barthelme.
Right, right.
And what I thought was interesting is the story itself almost feels like a deconstruction of like traditional storytelling.
Absolutely. Barthelme loves to play with form, with convention, you know?
Yeah.
It's got this absurdist humor. The lines are numbered instead of paragraphs.
Right.
There are these like fake quotes thrown in.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah. It's like he's deliberately messing with us as readers.
Totally.
Toying with our expectations of what a story should be.
Which honestly is kind of refreshing, you know?
Yeah.
That's fun. But before we get like totally lost in the weirdness.
Okay.
Can you give us a quick rundown? Like, what is The Glass Mountain actually about?
All right. So the title's not misleading. It follows this unnamed narrator, and he's on this quest to climb you guessed it, a glass mountain.
The classic.
Right. But this isn't your typical hero's journey, you know?
Right.
He encounters these bizarre characters, these absurd situations. Like, at one point, he's using plumber's friends to try to, like, scale the mountain instead of ropes.
Oh, right. I forgot about that part. And then there's that whole thing with the beautiful enchanted symbol at the top.
Yeah, yes.
Though whether it's actually a princess or something else entirely is left, you know, deliciously ambiguous.
Exactly. And that's where deconstruction comes in,
right? Okay.
The chapter highlights how Barthelme uses this story, this kind of absurd story, to play with our expectations of, you know, heroism.
Right.
Symbolism, even just the structure of a fairy tale.
Yeah, yeah. It's like he's setting up all these binary oppositions.
It's like success versus failure, or, you know, the traditional knight in shining armor versus this kind of clueless narrator.
Yes.
But then he refuses to let us settle comfortably on one side or the other.
Exactly.
It's like keeping us on our toes.
Yeah, and in doing so, he exposes those hierarchies we were talking about earlier.
Right. Right.
It makes you question what does make a hero.
Oh.
Why is the traditional fairy tale structure so ingrained in our minds? And who decides those rules in the first place?
Those are great questions. And it actually reminds me of something you said earlier.
Yeah.
About how deconstruction can help us become more like savvy consumers of information. Right?
Absolutely.
It's like once you start to see these binaries and hierarchies at play, you can't unsee them.
Exactly.
It's like you've unlocked a new level of awareness.
Right.
And you can take that awareness into any situation.
Totally. Like take something as pervasive as advertising.
Oh, yeah.
Think about how often technology is presented as inherently superior to nature.
Right, right.
Or how newer is always better, faster is always preferred.
It's all about progress, right? But progress towards what?
Right, exactly. And deconstruction helps us question those assumptions, you know, to see the potential downsides of constantly striving for this idea of progress without, like, considering the consequences.
Without thinking critically about what we might be leaving behind.
Exactly.
Or even who might be left behind.
It's about understanding how language is being used to influence our perceptions, you know?
Absolutely.
Even to manipulate us without us even realizing it.
It's subtle. But it's powerful.
It is. It is.
And that awareness, that critical lens, it's just crucial in today's world, wouldn't you say?
Oh, totally. Especially with how much information we're bombarded with from, like, all sides.
Exactly. It's overwhelming.
It's almost like deconstruction gives us this X-ray vision, you know?
Okay. I like that.
Allowing us to see the underlying structures and power dynamics at play in everything from literature and art to, like you said, advertisements, political speeches. It's everywhere.
I love that analogy. It's about recognizing that meaning isn't this fixed objective thing.
Right.
But rather it's constructed.
Yeah.
And often it's contested.
Which I'll admit can be a bit unsettling at first, right?
It can be. Yeah.
Like if meaning is always shifting, then what's the point of even trying to analyze anything, you know?
It's a common concern. I get it.
Yeah.
But I would argue that this instability, this slipperiness of meaning,
yeah,
it's actually incredibly valuable.
Okay.
Because it forces us to be more critical, to question those assumptions.
Right.
To acknowledge that there are multiple perspectives on any given issue.
So instead of fearing that instability, that uncertainty of meaning, we can actually kind of embrace it as an opportunity,
right?
For deeper understanding and more meaningful engagement with, well, with the world around us.
I love that, embracing the uncertainty.
Yeah.
It opens up so many possibilities.
Totally. And that's what makes deconstruction such a powerful tool, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
It's like that saying, right? The limits of my language are the limits of my world.
Oh, totally.
And deconstruction, it's like it gives us these tools to push those limits,
yeah,
you know, to expand our understanding of what's even possible.
Precisely. And what I love about it is it's not limited to just like literature or art, you know?
Right.
The beauty of deconstruction is you can apply it to so many different aspects of life, you know?
Which actually makes me think about that question that we always like to leave our listeners with.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the one that's like designed to spark further exploration.
Right, right.
Okay, so thinking back to everything we've been talking about today.
Okay.
The binary oppositions, challenging those assumptions, those hidden hierarchies, all that good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
The chapter mostly focused on like written texts, right?
Right.
But how do you think you could apply this deconstructive lens to something else, like, say, a piece of art or a song? What about, like, even just a social media post?
Ooh, that's a good one. It's a great challenge.
Yeah.
Imagine, like, you're scrolling online and you see a really straightforward advertisement.
Right. Like, we see those all the time.
Exactly. But what appears to be, like, this simple message about like whatever, a product might actually be built on like this whole network of cultural assumptions.
Oh, totally.
And unspoken hierarchies.
Oh, that's such a good point. It makes me think about like those perfect images we see online all the time, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And how they can play into those like unrealistic beauty standards or even reinforce like potentially harmful stereotypes.
Absolutely.
So like deconstruction could actually help us unpack those messages and challenge their influence a little bit.
Yes. By recognizing those techniques that are being used, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We become more conscious consumers of all information, not just the stuff we read.
It's empowering when you think about it that way.
It is.
Like deconstruction gives us this toolkit to navigate like all the complexities of the world around us with just like a more critical and discerning eye.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like it.
It's about asking those why questions, right?
Yeah.
Challenging what's given.
Yeah.
And then embracing that idea that like meaning is rarely simple.
Right.
It's rarely just like one-dimensional.
It's messy. Well said. This has been honestly such a fascinating deep dive into the world of deconstruction.
It really has.
We went from like, what even is this thing?
Right.
To feeling like we have these tools to use it.
I know.
All thanks to that surprisingly very approachable online chapter.
Right. Who knew?
Right. It's out there, folks. So to our listeners, keep those why questions coming.
Yes.
Whether you're, you know, tackling some dense philosophical text or just like scrolling through your social media feeds.
It's everywhere.
Remember, there's always more than meets the eye, right?
Always dig deeper.
And sometimes unpacking those layers, that can lead to some really surprising and insightful discoveries.
Absolutely. Happy deconstructing out there.
Yes. Until next time, everyone. Keep those minds curious and those questions coming.